Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Diane Schwarz to the broadcast. Diane is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Textron Incorporated, a $13.8 billion aerospace, defense, and industrial conglomerate that owns well-known brands such as Bell Helicopter and Cessna. Diane has been CIO for nearly 5 years and is responsible for managing the business unit CIOs and directing the day-to-day activities of Textron Information Services. She also oversees Textron's Information Management Council and manages the company's information technology supplier and outsourcing relationships. Prior to becoming CIO of Textron Incorporated at the enterprise level, Diane was the vice president and CIO of Textron Systems, one of the company's many business units. Diane received a Bachelor's of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Notre Dame and an MBA from the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. I recently caught up with Diane from her office in Providence, Rhode Island, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as Diane discussed how she partnered with HR to collectively develop an overall talent development program for IT. Principle 3, Project and Portfolio Management, as Diane described how she maintains a coordinated enterprise-level strategic plan while providing the business unit's flexibility to prioritize efforts based on their specific needs. Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Diane shared how a dual reporting structure enables business unit IT and enterprise-level IT to effectively collaborate. And Principle 5, External Partnerships, as Diane shared the story of how Textron IT collaborated with the consulting arm of a comedy troupe to use improvisation-based training to improve how IT communicates with the business. Thanks for listening to the Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by TopTal, an exclusive network of the top freelance software developers, designers, and finance experts in the world. I recently caught up with TopTal CEO Tasso Duval, and he offered the following top five trends for hiring top talent.
The top five trends for hiring top talent are, one, hiring talent remotely, ensuring that they are able to work remotely and that companies are hiring talent remotely. Two, leveraging teams in different dispersed locations. If you're hiring in-house and you're leveraging remotely a bit, being open to having talent even in the same time zone is an important factor that we've noticed. Three, highly skilled teams becoming the majority rather than the lead, meaning ensuring that the team composition comprises of predominantly high-skilled labor rather than high-skilled labor supported by lower-skilled labor. Four, infrastructure being created to support those teams, ensuring that the teams in-house are connected with the remote teams that are working together. And five, flexibility with offer packages. We've seen that even the in-house talent that are joining companies from Google to Facebook and on are interested in demanding that there is a remote component to their job, whether it's one day a week or full-time, be included within their offer packages.
Diane Schwarz, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter.
It's great to speak with you today. Diane, I thought we'd begin with your role in your company. You are the Chief Information Officer of Textron. And for those who might not be familiar with it, Textron is a Rhode Island-based multi-industry company. It's engaged in aircraft defense, industrial, and finance businesses, $14 billion in revenue. You are the enterprise-level CIO. I know there's also IT leadership within the business units themselves. I wonder if you could just take a moment to talk a bit about the structure of IT, obviously a big complex organization, multi-line. How have you organized IT in working both at the enterprise level but also at the business unit level?
Sure. And you did provide a very good description of, you know, what Textron is all about. We have very different business units. So we have a CIO in each of our different business units or major product lines, and they have their own IT organizations then that report to them. Those CIOs have dual reporting to the business unit leadership. Sometimes the president, sometimes not. It depends. With also then reporting up to me. And the business units do what I call the fun stuff. So they support all of the applications, whether it's ERP or CRM or PLM tools, manufacturing, really all of the stakeholder and customer facing tools. And then at the enterprise level, we provide, you know, I call it shared services. But if you think about the security operations center and Exchange and Office and licensing for the key suppliers, that's what we have at the corporate level. So we learn the art of collaboration and communication very well because it is a complex organization. And some of the business units are small, like 10 IT folks in a supporting that entire unit, whereas others might have 150 or so. So with that disparity of the organization, it's kind of like managing the Brady Bunch sometimes, but we communicate often and, you know, at great length to make sure that we all know what's going on in our different locations. And it is all across the world. I have maybe only 50% of the staff or so is in the United States and all of the rest is over. In fact, I have a large number of folks who are in India who roll up independently to each of their business units, but they all happen to sit in a common office building.
Very
interesting. So it may seem complex to an outsider, but you know, we know how all of our puzzle pieces fit together.
And how do you think in an organization, not only so complex, but so diverse, diverse in terms of the kinds of businesses you're in, diverse, as you mentioned, in terms of geography, how do you think about what should be common versus what should be unique as it applies across that diverse range of businesses?
So it's a good question, and it's one really that our CEO answers. He has said our business units are empowered to make decisions on what's going to be best for them to meet their strategic objectives. But of course, profitability is part of that. So you know, if a business unit decided, for example, they wanted to go off and host their own email system, well, okay, we don't have any rules that say they can't, but it's going to cost more for them in general to do their own thing. And it would really cause a lot of complexities with hooking that system up to all of ours. So it's really because they are tied into meeting profitability objectives is one of the things that helps keep people in line with not deviating too much from the standards that cause employees to all be able to interact across all of our locations. But our CEO also recognizes that when it comes to, let's just say ERP systems, what serves a business unit in aerospace is very different than what serves somebody in maybe automotive. And that if you make people share too much, you sub-optimize what's actually going to support their business. So that's really what we look at is, you know, is it going to best serve their business needs or not?
That sounds like a good way to do it. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your strategy. You know, in our past conversations, you've talked a little bit about the way in which you've organized strategically. Can you give us some highlights of the things that rise to the top of your strategic plan?
Sure. So when I look across all of our businesses, I needed to frame something so that we're all rowing in the same direction, but that allowed each business unit to plug in their specific strategies so that, you know, we weren't going in different directions. So I started with advance the business. We in IT are here to make sure that all of us are delivering great products, supporting our customers, and you know, delivering to our shareholders. So whatever the projects are and programs that support that is advance the business. The next one is make IT easy. We're all IT professionals and we deliver tools and services all day long, but these tools aren't always intuitive for everyone who uses these. So make IT easy encompasses everything about how we do and how we run and operate all of our IT services. The next one is protect the enterprise, because we all recognize there's almost better funded, more bad guys out there trying to get into all of our enterprises than we can possibly combat. So everyone in IT needs to be thinking about how we protect our enterprise. The next is succeed with talent. And not only do we have specific talent development programs, you can't be successful on advancing the business, making IT easy, or protecting the enterprise if you are not growing as an individual. So by achieving all of our other strategies, you actually develop yourself, and we do succeed with talent. And then all four of those things are really executed with two tenets. One is innovation. We are a technologist, so we need to be thinking about what are the new things that are always available that's going to help advance the business and make IT easy. And leverage. Because we have such unique and varied business units, somebody's likely solved this problem before, tried this software before. So why don't you go out and reach across our business units or even in your global network and see what you can leverage what somebody else has done rather than starting from scratch. So that was kind of the medium version of the IT strategy.
That's great. A good overview. I know one of the things you've talked about is, and if I may peel back the onion on at least one of those, in terms of succeeding with talent, you have a real goal of developing talent from within. I don't doubt that you must recruit some people from time to time, especially if it's net new skills or a role that's never been in place before, perhaps in addition to other reasons, simple growth of the organization. But I wonder if you could take a moment and just talk a little bit about some of the methods you have used to grow talent within the organization and help people advance in their careers.
So first I had to start with coming up with what was my overall talent development strategy for IT. And this wasn't looking to HR to tell me what to do. Yes, they have tools and they have frameworks, but I know my talent pool best and where they are across the world. So this is something where I partnered with HR on, came up with all of the things we want to do, and then aligned it with where our gaps, where our needs, and came up with the core things that we were going to focus on. So you can't come up with your talent development plans in a vacuum. You have to know your overall landscape. So, but we'll just talk about some pieces of it. One is on the strategic planning, succession planning. So we have succession planning tools that are out there in the marketplace. We use them here. I won't throw out the name brands, but we probably all use some of the same ones. But they're limited to this person is the successor for that person. Well, that's kind of hard because in an organization my size, Sally could be the successor for a particular role in any number of organizations, not just for one person. So I created a succession planning tool. Okay, it's a SharePoint list, but who said it had to be fancy? And it's got all of my leaders and all of my potential leaders in there, and it has them tagged for a few potential roles, some near term, some longer term. And whenever we have a key leadership role that needs to be filled, the business unit CIO, their HR person, and myself will use this tool to go through and come up with the potential slate of all of the people that we need to be considering, asking, tapping for that particular role. So it helps make sure that we're doing a sweep across the organization, not just thinking about who you know or who comes first to your mind. So I think that's a real differentiating factor, that we consistently use the succession planning tool for whenever we have leadership entries.
That's excellent. And another topic you raised was innovation. One of the two topics that kind of cut across the four strategic topics that you raised. And I know one of the ways in which you've spoken about fostering innovation is what you refer to as ideation events. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the process you use there, and maybe if you wouldn't mind some of the fruit of that labor, some of the results.
Absolutely. And by the way, I view those ideation events as professional development or professional growth opportunities, because you're doing something that you're not always executing in your day-to-day job. So whenever you're doing something brand new, that's how we grow new muscle. So whether you're mentoring a team that's going through one of these ideation events or you're on it, you're playing a role that's very different than what you normally do. So I just see people have these great experiences when we do it. And sometimes we'll call it a code-a-thon. Sometimes we'll call it a hackathon. I actually had one of my early career professionals come up with an event for our interns this summer. He called it Game of Tech. Because guess what? It was the same week that Game of Thrones was launching this summer. So it doesn't matter what we call it. And sometimes we'll have it be a few weeks long. Sometimes we'll have it a few hours long. But what we do is we present some generic business problems or some specific business problems, or have them come with their own. Basically say, come up with an improvement. What can we do differently? What should we be doing? In the case this summer, we said, here are 30 technologies that are at your disposal if you want to combine any of them to create a solution to this problem. So whenever I have these events, I try to force diverse teams together. So I'll pick people across different geographies who may not know each other and across different technical disciplines, because you usually can't solve this in isolation. So afterwards, people will say, wow, I didn't know all of these other people that have out there. Wow, we have all these great resources. And I'm behind the scenes going, yeah, I told you so. But if we talk about the outcomes of some of these events, when we see these solutions, my leaders are always amazed at the creativity of what the organizations offer. We then have these teams take these solutions to the relevant business leaders and say, hey, we came up with this idea that's in, you know, over in your sandbox. We'd like you to hear about it. And a lot of times the business leaders will pick it up and go, oh, wow, that's really cool. And they may not implement that particular idea in that particular way, but so often it has spawned other things. So, you know, we might develop a mobile app to be used with one of our products. In that case, it actually was launched almost exactly as it was defined. And in some cases, the business might say, oh, you know, if I had something like this, but I applied it over to this other product or these other customers, wouldn't that be great? So it really spurs additional ideation in the business in areas that you didn't expect. But it requires us kind of brokering those conversations with the business stakeholders who, you know, weren't part of the ideation in the beginning, because you never know where the ideation is going to lead.
You know, it occurs to me that another sort of cross-section between your strategic topics and in the case of innovation, I'd love to understand, like, making IT easy. I'm sure not that all those aspects of things that would be under that banner would be categorized as innovation, but I know that you've said in the past that innovation is not just in design, but also in how service is provided, how communication happens, the processes that are used, and modifications that happen accordingly. And so I'd be curious if you could talk a little bit more about the ways in which you've made IT easy.
So the one that's had the most impact has almost nothing to do with delivering technology itself, and it's about communications. So I've had to grow a communications team that helps us develop artifacts, if you want to put them that way. You can call it a knowledge base. But we developed a section on our intranet called My IT, and we have resource hubs that are there. So there's going to be one for Outlook, and there's going to be one for VPN, and there's going to be one for bring your own mobile device and all of those things, so that if users will search for something on the intranet, they will find information there that is useful to them or leads them to other places. So, you know, you can think about, well, let's analyze our help desk tickets and look for trends and you make things available to the users. We should have all been operating this way over the life of our careers, but technologists just don't always think about how that information can be consumed by all of those end users out there, and don't think about making it easy for them to get to, not to reuse that word, but that's really what it's all about. And I'll tell you that getting all of these artifacts gathered together and relevant and usable for the users was really hard and really time consuming, because you have to find the right communication professionals that can then bridge communications and writing and interpreting IT stuff. So I have a really great team. I think they do a fabulous job, but it sure feels like an uphill battle sometimes when you're working on, you know, the next latest, greatest IT project. And they're like, so what are we going to tell the users about it? And, you know, the technologists kind of look back at the communications team and go, huh? So it's always an ongoing education of what we do. But, you know, we also apply, for example, I provided some special training to most of the people in IT. I don't know if you're familiar with Second City Works or with Second City. So Second City is the comedy troupe. They have a consulting arm called Second City Works that makes more money than Second City. They provide improv training for business professionals. Well, every day we do improv. Somebody walks into your office and says, you know, hey, I want to, you know, do X and Y and Z, and it needs to cost this and it needs to be done tomorrow. And we go, no. And what they'll teach you is you say, yes, and let's paint it green and sell it. So I used that team to help our technology professionals change how they have conversations with the business to think more collaboratively using improv techniques.
Very interesting.
I had a whole lot of fun with that. And in fact, I'm actually facilitating a session using these techniques with one of our employee resource groups internally. So obviously this doesn't apply just to IT, and I've gotten a whole lot more mileage out of those techniques, but it's an awful lot of fun. So I endorse that organization.
That's very interesting. Diane, you've had a really diverse, you have a very diverse background. You were an engineer as an undergrad at Notre Dame. You have an MBA from the Booth School at the University of Chicago. You spent time at Ernst & Young as a consultant, which I will interpret as providing you with a tool belt and some frameworks to use to solve problems. You've had positions within IT, including now being a CIO multiple times over. You've had some positions outside of IT. And I wonder if you reflect backward and reflect upon the great rise you've had, as I say, to have become a chief information officer multiple times over, including of a $14 billion revenue organization now. What sort of advice do you have, drawing from your own experiences, for others who might wish to follow in your footsteps to become a CIO?
So the having diverse experiences in and out of IT, I think, makes me a more resilient leader. I have more empathy for organizations because I've worked in a marketing group. I've worked in an accounting group. Sometimes if we're only have experience within our own four walls, we really haven't walked in the shoes of another. I think it's also helped that I've worked in small organizations and large organizations. In a small organization, you have to learn to do everything. In a large organization, you learn to go really deep in something. So to be able to balance that together just makes it a more robust experience. So I don't think it matters in what combination or in which order you do any of these things. But if you love security and you want to be a CISO, great. But you know what? If you go and work in applications or you work in infrastructure or whatever it is, you are going to learn so much more about what you need to secure for the enterprise. Probably scare you a whole lot. But when you eventually then go back into a security role, you're going to be so much better at it because your eyes are going to be wide open on, you know, where those potential compromises are. We actually did a survey of our top leaders in IT here and found that something like 98% of them went outside of kind of their core discipline in IT in the middle part of their career and then came back as a senior leader back into that same core discipline. We also found something like half of my senior IT leaders also played roles outside of IT at some point in their career. So I don't know if a statistician would, you know, agree with my results, but we have found that it just makes you more valuable and have better perspectives by working in multiple areas.
great perspectives indeed. And I wanted to also ask you, as you look forward, what are some of the trends that particularly excite you? You'd mentioned that you have, as part of your innovation mandate, the need to kind of look around corners and gauge how new innovative topics or technologies might be leveraged internally to help the company seize its strategic imperatives more readily. What are some of the things that are starting to excite you and your team?
Well, technology is or will be infused everywhere in every aspect of business, you know, by the time our careers are done. So that's just cool. You know, what other discipline can you think of where they can say that? So I get excited no matter which functional area I look at, because every business leader is now starting to think about how, whether it's big data or social or you know, machine intelligence, is going to be impacting them. So I get excited about all of that. But when I think about where some people on my team need to be thinking more specifically, is really on the machine intelligence front. We don't yet know where it's going to apply in our business or how we're going to apply it with any specificity. But I believe that's the one trend that's a sure thing that is going to change how work is going to be done within the next generation, sooner than the next generation.
And are there ways in which you're beginning to test it and use it to find use cases today, in addition, of course, to the great advances we're all anticipating as we look forward?
Well, think of it in terms of proof of concepts. Thankfully, there are so many models and tools that are out there and available for us to plug into that we don't have to create any of this from scratch. But we're just trying to stay informed and aware, but we don't have any significant project that we're working on that we can talk about right now.
Understood. Well, Diane Schwarz, thank you so much for taking time with me today and speaking on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please join me next week when my guest will be Steve Philpott, the CIO of Western Digital.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not.
Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.